One of the things I often tell people is that Fort is a place of firsts. And I have to say, that is the first time I've seen a dog being spayed or neutered or whatever is happening on a kitchen table. That is not what I had in mind when I said that Fort is a place of firsts. Well, as you know, over the last few days, we've been looking at Psalm 90. The first day we looked at the context for which Moses was going to ask God for specific things. And over these last couple days, we've been working our way through his requests. The first day we looked at how he requested that God would teach us to number our days, to allocate purpose to the time that we have, so that in the end we might present a heart of wisdom and have something to give back to those coming behind us. And then yesterday we looked at Moses' request to turn and have compassion, because without that we have no hope. And we saw that while Moses offered to be an atonement and to step in the place of the nation Israel to save them, while he wasn't able to do that, God in Christ did that. And we saw that word propitiation illustrated in that moment when the judge came off of the throne, having declared us guilty because of our sin, but at the same time being willing to step in and take the penalty for what we were guilty of. And today, we're going to look at his next request, to satisfy us in the morning and make us rejoice. So if you can take your Bible and turn back to Psalm 90, that would be great. And as we have been doing, I'm going to ask someone to read for us. We're going to read verse 14 and 15 this morning. So anyone who has that would be willing to stand and read, that'd be great. Go ahead, you can read, please. Okay, so I think what's interesting here is that 14 and 15 may seem like one request or two requests, but I think they're actually connected. I think it's actually one request. With this verse, I think Moses is specifically calling to mind the instructions that the Israelites were given in 1 Chronicles 23. So we're going to turn to that passage this morning. It's up there on the screen. 1 Chronicles chapter 23. And we're going to start reading in verse 28. Now we're picking up this story in the middle of the instructions being given to the nation Israel as to how they're going to act with respect to the tabernacle and the duties that they're being given. So we're going to read verses 28 through 32, and I'll ask for a volunteer for that as well, too. Anyone willing to stand and read? Go ahead, in the back there.
For their duty was to assist the sons of Aaron for the service of the house of the Lord, having the care of the courts and the chambers, the cleansing of all that is holy, and any work for the service of the house of God. Their duty was also to assist the showbread, the flour for the grain offering, the wafers of unleavened bread, the baked offering, the offering mixed with oil, and all measures quantity or size. And they were to stand every morning thanking and praising the Lord, and likewise at evening. And whenever burnt offerings were offered to the Lord on Sabbaths, new moons, and feast days, according to the number required for them regularly before the Lord. Thus they were to keep charge of the tent of meeting and the sanctuary, and to attend the sons of Aaron, their brothers, for the service of the house of the Lord.
So what we're reading here is a job description for the Levites in their service to the temple that was being built, in the care of the temple and the practices that were going to take place. But I want you to look very quickly in this whole list of what they were required to do, which was pretty extensive. There's only one thing that they were asked to do every day. Anyone see it? Every day. Yes. Think about all the things that they had to do to facilitate this temple worship. the holy days and the feasts. And if you've ever looked at the calendar that the nation of Israel had, it was extensive. These Levites had a lot of work to do. But the priority for them every day, which is a word I have underlined in this passage, every day was to praise and thank the Lord, both in the morning and in the evening. And I think one of the reasons why Moses is putting this in Psalm 90 at the end of his life is because he realized the nation Israel, like in so many other areas, had become unfaithful to keeping this practice. And he wanted them to recover it. Not only because they were to be obedient to what God is talking to them about, but I think there's just a practical realization that we need to come to as we walk with God in the midst of our lives. Rejoicing in the morning sets your mindset for the rest of your day and really for the rest of your life. But I want to make sure that we don't miss is while they had all these duties and work to do, the thing they were to do at the beginning of the day and the end of the day was to be thankful. It is to be a practice and distinction of God's people to have a heart and a life of gratitude and thanksgiving. And this idea runs throughout the Old and New Testament. But it's very easy to forget that. That's why theologian D.C. Schindler said that one of the biggest mistakes of the modern life is we forget the givenness of things. We forget that literally everything we have, including the breath that fills our lungs, has been given to us. We think that we're the masters and the creators of things. And while we do have the opportunity to create, we create all that was given to us. An author who you may be more familiar with, G.K. Chesterton, says this: when it comes to life, the critical thing is whether you take things for granted or take them with gratitude. Whether you take things for granted or whether you take things with gratitude. That's why I said the first night, and I continue to say, every day is a gift. And it's important that we see that this way, so that we understand that all that we have has been given to us, and what we've been given is good. Now, one of the things that he asked us to do is to start every day focused on what you have and not what you don't have. I said this was true in the Old Testament. It's also true in the New Testament. Can you turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7? And again, I'll ask for anyone who finds that and is willing to read, that would be helpful. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Anybody? Go ahead, Chris.
Finally, I went too far, sorry. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Do not be anxious for anything. Do not be anxious for anything. We live in a culture overrun by anxiety. It's everywhere in the news, it's everywhere in studies, and yet the Bible tells us that we are not to be anxious for everything or anything, but bringing things with prayer and supplication. But it's that little phrase that's tucked in there, with thanksgiving, that I think makes the difference. Of course we'd want to go to God with the requests, but he's also saying that we should go with thankfulness. And there's a promise connected to that action, which I think is really important. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So what is that peace that he's talking about? It's not up on the board, but I'd like you to turn to John chapter 14, verse 27 real quick. Because Jesus tells us what that peace is, and I think it tells us even more why Paul said it's a peace that passes understanding. So John 14, verse 27, and I'll read that one once we get there. He says, "Peace I leave with you, My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Some of you may have a verse that says, do not let your heart be anxious or do not let it be fearful. But what's interesting is if you ask most people or if you looked in the dictionary, what is peace? It means the absence of conflict. When there's peace in the Middle East or there's peace in the Ukraine, it means there's no conflict. That would be a reasonable definition. But Jesus is saying the peace that he gives to us in this context of where he's talking about the Holy Spirit's work in our life, he says it's going to be different than the peace that you're used to. He tells us what it is. He says, do not let your heart be troubled. Do not let your heart be afraid. What he's saying is while there is a true definition of peace is the absence of conflict, the peace that the Holy Spirit gives us is an absence of fear and an absence of worry, which is why Paul says it passes understanding. Because most people will look at a situation where people would be losing themselves in it, but Christians who are trusting in God that he's working out, even in the most difficult things, can have a peace that passes all understanding. That other people do not understand why they can react in that way. It doesn't mean it's not hurtful or painful or disappointing, but there's a peace that passes all understanding. And that's the promise that Jesus gives for those who walk and understand the Holy Spirit's work in their life. And that, I believe, is a distinction of a disciple of Christ. Someone who has a thankful, peaceful heart. Doesn't mean there aren't times of stress and there isn't conflict, but it's not where we live. Contentment is given to us instead of anxiety. Trust instead of fear. Peace instead of worry. Gratefulness instead of demandingness. That's what Philippians 4, 6, and 7 promises us. Now, I have to tell you that I learned this at a very, very difficult time in my life when I was a much younger man. I did not come to see the scripture as the impetus for this, but what brought me to this place of understanding the importance of being thankful was actually a song. Some of you are old enough to remember a group called the Imperials. Some of you have no idea, right? I think they're a four-part harmony. When I first became a Christian, I had two cassette tapes. Some of you are like, what's a cassette tape? But I had two cassette tapes. Andre Crouch, anyone remember him? And the Imperials. And my wife will tell you, I'm the worst person to sit next to when we're singing, because I can't remember. She laughed there. Did you hear that? She has a beautiful voice, remembers so many lyrics. I can barely remember anything. So the fact that the Lord brought this verse in, or this chorus from this song into my life was really quite remarkable in itself. The song is called Praise the Lord. And the chorus is up there and it says, the chains that serve to bind you serve only to remind you they drop powerless behind you when you praise him. Now, I had become a Christian in high school, went away to college, had a very successful college career, and was all set up to take a job with this ad agency in Chicago. Life was going along, and they rescinded the offer because they put a hiring freeze on because there was a recession. And I had nowhere to go. I had not had a plan B. So the only place I could go was back to my parents' house, who were not expecting me to come. They had moved as they were starting to downsize. And so they didn't really even have a bedroom for me. So what they did is downstairs in the unfinished basement, they put up this one wall, and along the concrete, and I'm not making this up, they put shag carpeting. My daughter is sitting back there, my wife is sitting back there, I'm not making this up, it's still there, right? I'm pretty sure that COVID started in that shag carpeting. I'm going to embarrass my daughter, because when the kids were really young, my daughters and my nieces and nephews, they would go down in the basement and they would lay on the bed and run their feet up and down the shag carpeting. That's why it's still probably pretty gross. And I don't even know how you shampoo a wall, right? But nonetheless, I was living in the basement of my parents' house. My parents honestly probably didn't really want me there. I didn't have any prospects for a future. So I started painting houses, and I'd come home and I'd have to use turpentine to get paint off my hands, and I'd have to wait tables. And this is like 40 years ago, so I'm in my 20s, right? Today, I would have no doubt been diagnosed as depressed. No doubt about it. But back then, they didn't really talk about it, didn't really know about it. And I didn't really know a way out because it was a pretty dismal existence. And this song just kept coming to mind. And so I started a practice, a very simple practice. Before I would get out of bed, before I'd put my feet on the floor, I would wake up and I could only think of a few things to thank the Lord for. That I had eyes to see. That I had a warm blanket. That I had feet that could walk. I'd splash water in my face. And I just started developing that habit of every morning just thinking of things to be thankful for. And it has stayed with me and reminded me, and I still do it today. As you get older, sometimes you realize, I mean, simple things. Sometimes I'll say, I'm just thankful that my ankles work. I'm thankful, and sometimes it's big things. I'm thankful when we have healthy grandkids. I'm thankful for the husbands that our daughters have married. I'm thankful for big things and little things. But before I look at my phone, before I look at anything, it's a habit. And I'm convinced the reason why God gives it, because it changes your focus. And we'll talk about that in a minute. And then I think Moses realizes how important that is, because as you get older, you see how things change. I referenced many times, and it's been mentioned, I get to serve on the board at Fort. This is my second term. I served for 9 years, and I was off for 5 years, and I come back for a year and a half. And I have to tell you, it is one of the great joys of my life. The board meetings are intense at times. We deal with difficult, heavy things. We also deal with fun things. But the greatest joy for me is the friendships that have come from that. Jim Schaefer, Paul Robertson's in the back, and I think they would tell you, it's just fun to be together. We do hard work together, but it's fun together. And then as it's expanded, we've gotten to know their spouses and done all kinds of things. And it's just one of the great joys in my life. A few years ago, we had a man who served on our board. His name is Andy Gilbert. Andy's from Wisconsin Rapids. And Andy was a PhD, and I think anyone know him, he was a little bit of an absent-minded professor. Guy was brilliant, but he just kind of bobbled around. But our family was always impressed with him in two ways. Number one, he was in his 60s and he volunteered a week in the kitchen. And if you've seen the guys and girls who work in the kitchen, that is hard work. And Andy did it with great joy. And he always kind of went out of his way to say hello to my daughters and my wife, which I always appreciated. And he had some knee surgery. It's October, he has some knee surgery. And he's not really recovering, so they start doing physical therapy and they think it's neuropathy. So around December, nothing's getting better. So first of the year, they start testing for things that aren't, so they start testing for MS and all these things. Now, Andy's in his 60s. The last thing they test for is ALS. So in April, they decide he's got ALS. And if you know anyone who's been afflicted with that, it is horrific. It is absolutely horrific. And so one of the other guys who we served on the board with, Todd Diebler, who lives up here, is from Wisconsin Rapids. And I was talking to Todd, and he said, Andy's not going to be, the people in Wisconsin Rapids don't think Andy's going to be here at Christmas. And I said, what? That's crazy. I mean, that doesn't make sense. So we were coming up to family camp, and my wife and I agreed that we would actually come up a day early and go down in Wisconsin Rapids to see him, because by now, in May, from October to May, he had been moved into a home, a home to assist him. He's a man that was probably bigger than I am. His wife is a nurse, but she could no longer care for him. So we walk in the building. My wife sees Celine, his wife, and they just immediately start crying, and I'm thinking, what am I going to see? And we walk in the room, and Andy's there, and he has some friends there. And we just start telling stories. There's two things about this why I think it's important. One, he struggled to laugh because his body was struggling to get oxygen. And I felt bad because I was making him laugh. And Celine said, no, he needs a day like this. And then we're sitting there after everyone had kind of quieted down, and I'll never forget this as long as I live. He said, you know what the worst thing is? And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, I can't even imagine, Andy. A year ago, you're out in your kayak, you're working in the kitchen, and you're in a bed, and you can't even hardly breathe on your own. And he looks at me and he says, when you have an itch on your head And you can't scratch it because you can't lift your arm. And so ever since then, sometimes I'll let the itch go on my head just to see how long I can take it. Try it sometime. It's torturous. But there are going to be hard days, and even in the midst of that, Andy had joy, and he was a great example. And we miss him on the board. Fort misses him. Wisconsin Rapids misses him. And that's why I think when you see this next verse in 15, it's going to make sense why Moses asked for this. Can we turn back to Psalm 90 one more time so that you can see? And anyone wants to read that verse one more time, that would be great. Okay, go ahead. I think Moses connects that to Thanksgiving because one of the things you learn as you get older is there are going to be some hard and bad days in your life. And what Moses is asking for here is just give us as many good days as we're going to have difficult days. He's not asking for this Instagram perfect life. He realizes there's going to be challenges, right? There's going to be challenges. And I don't think he's saying that we should live in denial of how bad and frustrating and sad and seemingly unjust things can be at times. But I do think what Moses is asking for is that we not be defined by those emotions and stuck in that place. That even in the midst of difficult days, we have a hope and a peace that passes all understanding, and for that reason we can rejoice in the midst of grief and sing in the midst of sorrow. That is what defines us. That is what makes us distinct among all people. Now, when God gave the instructions to the Levites to every morning stand and be people praising and thanking God, and every evening be praising and thanking God, there was no one in the ancient world that had that practice. They all made sacrifices because they were afraid of their gods. They were trying to appease their gods because they didn't see their God as someone to be thanked and to be praised. But Moses knew, because of that instruction, that that was to be a distinction of the people of God, the people who follow God, the people who know God, because the people who know God realize the givenness of things. The people who know God, as Chesterton said, don't take things for granted, but take things as given, and they have so much to be thankful for. Over the years, I have met people who really live this out. But there was one in particular that stands out in my memory. We lived apart from some of our extended family, and so sometimes for Thanksgiving, we wouldn't always have Thanksgiving on Thursday. We would either do it another day or we'd drive somewhere. And at the time, we were attending a church where one day, this father and mother, who are a little bit older, wheel in a wheelchair a son named Greg, who was struggling with some kind of neurological thing. And come to find out, Greg had been a neurosurgeon or something like that, and he got this tremendous affliction, and it rendered him pretty much uncommunicative. But Alan and Joanna, their parents, had Greg in a facility that could care for him. And every person in that facility had a caregiver. And so what they did every Thanksgiving was throw a Thanksgiving meal for those people. Because a lot of them didn't have family to go to, and they didn't have anywhere to go. And my wife had a genius idea. She said, why don't we go help them? Why don't we just go help them? We're not doing Thanksgiving for us on Thursday. We didn't do this every year, but some of the years, so we would go help them. And so we would go help. Becky would make some food. Our kids would help serve. And every one of those people had some kind of significant affliction where they needed to have a full-time caregiver living with them. And on this one occasion, I sat next to this gentleman, and he was unable to cut his meat because his arms and stuff have started to fail. And I come to find out that he was a rabbi. He had been a rabbi. And he told me his whole story. Generation after generation after generation, his family had been rabbis, and he was a rabbi. And but once this affliction started to take over, he couldn't do it any longer. And he said, that's why I can't even cut my meat, because my hands don't work. And then he looks at me and he says, and besides, you wouldn't want me to do your circumcision. And I was like, you are correct, sir. But Deanne would love you to come to her house for her dog. But even in the midst of this terrible affliction, this guy could make a joke about that. And so those days are a great reminder for us and for our family of just how precious life is and how much it can do. So my question for you is, what can you do in light of this request that Moses makes? What is it that you can do? So I'm going to suggest to you, you can start August 1st, you can start whenever. Try and create the habit. Before you look at your phone, maybe you have to get up and go to the bathroom, but just create a habit of what God instructed the nation Israel to do and what makes us distinct as a people. And that is to just begin to thank God. It may be simple things. It may be big things. It may be the same thing over and over and over again. One of the things that I'm grateful for as I've gotten older is just that I have health. Because as you know, when you get older, things can change quickly. And so it doesn't have to be a legalistic activity. But what I'm convinced of, if you can do this for 30 days, it will become a habit. Just as God wanted the nation Israel to have the habit and have the distinction to be a people who woke up every morning to praise and thank the Lord. And here's what I know about modern life. If you start doing your stuff, you won't do it. Your mind will go to all the stuff that you have to do. All the things that are in front of you. And that's not bad, because the nation Israel was given a lot of activities to do for the service in the temple. Look at that job description that we read in Chronicles. They had a lot of busy work they had to stay focused on to make sure that the temple would function. That was part of their vocation and part of their calling. But the only thing that they were asked to do in their job description every day was to start by praising and thanking God. So when I see that, I wonder, why are we not going to do that? Why can we not do that? And in the midst of that, recognizing that we're going to have some difficult days, right? In this verse, in John 16:33, it says, "In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." Now, one thing that my wife and I talk about often is, as we get older and we see things happen that we just don't understand how God is accomplishing things. There are losses in our life. There are things that happen that are hard. But Jesus said it's going to be tough at times, but it's not the end. This world is not the end, and even that thing is not the end. If you haven't had an opportunity to, I would encourage you to go by Peyton's Place. If you know the story, that was Todd and Robin's 13-year-old son who passed away, who was good friends with our oldest daughter. And out of the midst of that, we raised money and built Peyton's Place, which is the infirmary that's been here for, trying to do the math, 23 years, I think. And so, in the midst of something that was terrible, Peyton got sick. He was in Children's Hospital for 33 days and passed away. If you haven't read Todd's book, just read the first chapter. You'll get the story. It will give you chills. But my point is that even in the midst of those hard days, it's not what defines you. Now, I can say with great confidence, Todd and Robin did not want to build Peyton's Place with the idea that they would come up here and be directors. But that was God's plan that he was working out. And so even in the midst of struggle, even in the midst of trials, we can be of good cheer. We can be people who have a peace that passes all understanding, because we have someone who has overcome the world, who we know personally. And while in the midst of the struggle, it may be very hard, we know that it's not the end of the story. And because of that, we can start every morning by praising God and thanking him for the simplest things or the biggest things or even sometimes the hard things and the difficult things. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for just the very, very simple instruction and the way that you call out simple words in the Word of God, that in the nation Israel's life, In the Levites' job description, there's one thing they were to do every day. Lord, I pray that we would be that kind of people too. That in the midst of all the challenges we have in walking through this modern world and all the challenges we have with our lives and our families and everything, that we would be people who would wake up every morning and our first thought would be to thank you for the givenness of things and the goodness that you've given us. We're so grateful today, Lord, for Fort and what you've given us here. And I pray that you would just help us develop a heart that is thankful and a heart that praises you so that we might be distinct amidst all the people that we come in contact with. We just thank you and we bless you in your son's name. Amen.